Okay, so last time we basically introduced the third part of the sugya, which is the Geder Shel Rodef, and basically developed there are two approaches to what's the parameters of a Shem Rodef. Right, first approach being that this is like the more normative approach, or what you know, more intuitive approach. That is a Shem Rodef requires guilty redifus, right? And a Shem Rodef, the din misa for a Rodef, will only apply when a person is guilty and responsible for being Rodef another person. That's the Pashat Pshat. We're going to see there, according to some Mefarshim, there's a second type of Rodef called a non-guilty Redifus, we'll call it Redifus b'metzius, that any situation where a particular person is responsible for threatening the lives of others, even if that person isn't responsible for that Redifus, avapikin, the fact that in metzius he is threatening the life of others, that grants him a shame Rodef. So we're going to see this issue about whether the din Rodef is limited to option number one, guilty redifus, or it also extends to the second type, to a non-guilty redifus, redifus b'metzius, is going to have a number of implications. So we're going to discuss in tonight's shir, slightly longer than normal, I'll try to finish everything up, because we're going to discuss two different inyanim which are directly impacted by this issue. First issue is going to be the question of Sheva ben Bichri. Right, Sheva ben Bichri, right? The case what's referred to in the Mishnayos and in sources about Mesira lemisa v'arayos, again handing over someone to be killed or to be given over for arayos. That's going to be one issue, and the second issue is going to be is Uber Harodef, a case, and we'll see in both these cases, right? Both the person who has been identified by the mob or the Uber, these are both examples. Potential examples of a redifus b'metzius, where a person is responsible, is responsible in a non-guilty way for the threat in other people's lives, but again, he's not guilty. So again, these will function as good test cases, good nafkamina for these two different approaches. With that, let's go. So the first thing, as we pointed out, is the issue of mesira lemisa v'arayos, which comes up in the context of Sheva ben Bichri. So we're going to see, and as you already saw in the Yerushalmi, there are two shitos, right, in the Yerushalmi, and then later Rishonim, in terms of what are the parameters, basically what are the conditions under which the town, the city, would be able to give up a Sheva ben Bichri. So the first approach, this is the approach adopted by Rav Yochanan in the Yerushalmi, and we'll see the first day in Rashi, and that is Yichud alone, as long as the mob, right, of Goyim, or miyachid a certain person and say, "Oh, we want Sheva ben Bichri," and then says Rabbi Yochanan this first day in Rashi, even if Sheva ben Bichri wasn't chayv misa, even if he weren't chayv misa, just the fact that they're miyachid him, that alone would justify the town saving themselves by giving over that individual. So again, so that's number one is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan in the Yerushalmi, and then also the first day of. Similarly, the first day of Rashi, Na'im Beis and Beis. So let's just read this Rashi quickly. Again, this is the Rashi Dira Maskel Yotza Rosho. So halfway down, this is he brings up the case of Sheva ben Bichri. Starts with the Im Tomar. So, did you see where it is?
Yeah.
They go for it.
Im Tomar and the Sheva ben Bichri, he may Rosho Mushlech Tevacha, the Dachun Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh.
The question is, right?
How are they able to do that?
Exactly. Once the Gemara here introduced the concept of Ein Dochen Nefesh Mimin Nefesh, so how there were they Dochen Nefesh Mimin Nefesh?
he would have been killed once he would have conquered the city.
Exactly. No matter what option you took, either he was given over, or if he wasn't given over, either way, he was going to die.
Rashi points out, if he would be able to theoretically get away, he wouldn't badly be killed, then they would not be allowed to give him up.
Exactly.
He was a dead man.
Exactly. Again, but the implication is that according to the first one, even without that factor of Chiv Misa, basically, the din of giving over Sheva ben Bichri would have been fine. So again, according to the first day seems to adopt the position of Rav Yochanan, that the factor of Yichud alone basically justifies giving him over. So now we have to analyze why is it that yichud alone suffices in order to justify the mesira lemisa? So we're going to see that there are two approaches to this issue. So the first approach is based off the comments of the Kesef Mishnah, and that is that once they're miyachid, that person, so the memela, the factor of maichazis, falls away. Right? As Rashi sort of hinting at. Because once they're miyachid him, so then there's no factor of maichazis. Because now mimanav shach, this Sheva ben Bichri is going to die. So therefore, and now the only remaining factor is the v'chaimem of the rest of the city. So again, as long as they're miyachid, again, Kesef Mishnah points out, if they weren't miyachid and they just said, I'll give up one individual, but you choose, so then maichazis would dictate, would basically say, how can you choose one person over the other person? But once they're miyachid, so then since that person who they're miyachid is going to die in mimanav shach, so therefore that, you know, neutralizes the factor of maichazis, and therefore mimela, according to this first explanation, the din of yahari v'yavur applies. So again, this is based off the comments of the Kesef Mishnah, who points out in the case of yichud, right, when they're miyachid, that neutralizes the factor of maichazis. But again, the major assumption of this approach, again, not such a chiddush, is that the driving force behind the din yahari bayavur for ritzicha is the svar. And therefore, once you knock off the svar of maichazis, the mail of the din of yahari bayavur doesn't apply. Again, the Kesef Mishnah himself is really talking in the name of Reish Lakish, because he's going to the Rambam to explain the Shita, which requires a Chiyav Misa, so he's coming from the opposite direction, right? He says, oh, according to Reish Lakish, according to the Rambam, Yichud alone knocks off my chazis, so then why do you need the additional factor of Chiyav Misa? So Kesef Mishnah says, oh, it must be the Reish Lakish / the Rambam, hold that, you know, the basis of Yahar Layavar is not the Svar, and therefore, even if the Svar falls away, the Din Yahar Layavar will still apply. But again, within Rav Yochanan, so just coming from the comments of the Kesef Mishnah, but again, if we're trying now to explain the Shita of Rav Yochanan, who holds a Yichud alone suffices, so then one easy way to explain it is based on the comments of the Kesef Mishnah. So that the Kesef Mishnah points out that Yichud alone neutralizes Maichazis, and then just reject that additional assumption and say that no, the din of Yahar Mayava for Ritzicha is completely taloi on the svar of Maichazis, and therefore once you knock off Maichazis, the Mela, the din Yahar Mayavor, falls away. So again, that's the first explanation of Yichud, why Yichud according to Rav Yochanan on the first day of Rashi suffices, again, because it knocks off the Svara of Maichazis. Oh. So what's it? The second, again, and so far this doesn't seem to connect to Din Rodif, that's where you get the second approach. The second approach is going to say, and we're going to see this is spelled out by the Torah's Ram. Anyone get to see the Torah's Ram again? You didn't get that?
I never was.
Oh, it's in basement or jazz. It looks like an antibraha because it's written by the same person. But either way, so we'll see the Torah Zraim and Rav Moshe both give an alternative explanation for Rav Yochanan. That's going to connect to our broader sugya. They both say that once the goyim, the mob, are miyachid a certain person, now that person attains a din rodef. Right? Even though, and it's very important, because even though that person's not responsible, right, the Goyim happened to choose him. They happened to choose Sheva ben Bichri. Again, going to the Shita, he wasn't Chayim Misa. They happened to choose Sheva ben Bichri. But the fact that they chose him, now the Maisa ben Mitzias, he is posing a threat to the lives of the rest of the city, because, right, the lives of the rest of the city are only in danger, Kozman, that, you know, Sheva ben Bichri isn't given up. So therefore, in the end of the day, that Ish, Sheva ben Bichri, just giving him as an example, is Lamaisa ben Mitzias posing a danger to everybody else? So says the Torah Zeraim and Ramoshe, that non-guilty form of Radifas still has a shame rodev. So the way Torah Zeraim, again, there's a Torah Zeraim in the Mishnah in Shumos, Periches Mishnah Yudbeis, again, develops that within the Shita of Yochanan, that Yichud alone suffices, it's because Rav Yochanan holds that there is a shame roldev even of this non-guilty variety. And he basically says that this is parallel, it's going to connect to our next sugya, the next Indian, he says this is exactly parallel to the Yerushalmi when it comes to an Uber. We'll see that the Yerushalmi clearly says that an Uber has the status of a roldev, even though, again, obviously the Uber isn't guilty, right? There's no Bechira there, and he's not responsible for his actions, but yet, since Lamaisa, the Uber, is posing a danger to his mother, the Yerushalmi clearly says that Uber is a din rodev. Torah Zoram says, oh, so just like the Yerushalmi says in the context of Uber, so too, Rav Yochanan says that in the context of Sheva ben Bichri, that the Yichud alone grants him the Shem Rodef, even though he's not guilty. And Rav Moshe, in the same tshuva that we're going to quote later, is Rav Moshe Chelek Yordaya, right? Chelek Beis, tshuva, Samach, Anaf Beis, again, Beis, Samach Beis, again, develops the same idea. The Pshan in Rav Yochanan, the Yichud alone suffices, because once the Miyazik, Sheva ben Bichri, so then even though he's not responsible, at the end of the day, he has a Shem Rodef. And Rav Moshe is going to say, well, he's going to get to the details later, that even the Bavli, basically, who seems to learn otherwise, even the Bavli, according to Rav Moshe, agrees to this notion. Again, even though the Bavli has this lashon of right, the Mishamya Karatzvila, which sounds like it's saying that, oh, as long as he's not responsible, he doesn't have a din rodef, we'll get to it. But Rav Moshe reinterprets that line to mean something completely different. And therefore, Rav Moshe says that Bain the Yerushalmi, Bain the Bavli, everyone agrees that an Uber has the shame rodef, even though he's not guilty. So again, just like an Uber, who has a shame rodef despite the lack of guilt, right? Just like he has a shame rodef, Huadin, that's the pshat in Rav Yochanan, that there, the Sheva ben Bichri, despite the lack of Chiyav Misa, has a shame rodef. So again, these are two important, you know, Makoros, that the basis of Shitas Rav Yochanan is, again, is this notion that there's a shame rodef, even of the non-guilty variety. Oh. So let's just analyze again these shitos. That again is the pshat of the Torah's Zeraim and Rav Moshe. That again, the basis of Shitas Rav Yochanan is the fact that there's a din rodef. So you're going to see that there are two basic assumptions here. Assumption number one is that without the din of rodef, right, the din of Yara Bayavar would have applied. Right, the fact that they have to come onto the factor of rodef, the implication is that otherwise, the din of Yehar Le'aver would have applied, even though there is no Maichazis. So again, assumption number one of these Mefarshim is like the Kesem Mishnah's explanation of Reish Lakish, that these Mefarshim must hold that the Yehar Le'aver for Ritzicha is not tied down to the Svar of Maichazis. And therefore, without the din rodef, even though Maichazis has been neutralized, you still would have had the din of Yehar Le'aver of Ritzicha, despite the lack of Maichazis. So again, assumption number one is that, according to the fact that they have to invoke the din of rodef, assumption number one is that the din of Yehar Le'aver would have applied otherwise, despite the lack of Maichazis. Again, based on the assumption that the din Yehar Le'aver for Ritzicha is not tied down to the svara of Maichazis. You can say Sanhedrin Ketana?
Yeah, or even Moshe himself has it.
Yeah, he's a Chayshah.
What?
Well,
okay. We'll get back to that. Second assumption here, and I'll explain why that doesn't work as well, I think, is the second assumption. Right? The second assumption is that the Shem Rodef doesn't require a guilty Redifus. Again, even the Redifus, B'metzius, even the non-guilty Redifus, seems to trigger a shame rodef, obviously, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to apply it in such a case of Avicha Ba'ama. But, as we've been developing, the only way, seemingly, to apply, right, the only way to apply the second type of shame rodef, right, despite the lack of guilt, is if there's no issue of Ein Docheh Nefesh B'nei Nefesh. As we pointed out last time, that generally, right, the impediment to saving one person over another person is the factor of Maichazis, Ein Docheh Nefesh B'nei Nefesh. So we pointed out that if the Shitos are going to apply the Din Rodev of the non-guilty variety, they seemingly have to get around that issue of Ein Docheh Nefesh B'nei Nefesh. Because B'nei Shlama, if you're dealing with a guilty Rodev, so then, as we pointed out, we keep on pointing out, this is the Rav Chanan, that the fact that he's responsible for his Maisa Redifus, that itself renders his Nefesh inferior. But if you hold of this second form of Rodev, the Rodev B'metzius, a non-guilty form of Redifus, so then his Redifus is not going to render his Nefesh inferior because he's not responsible for his Redifus. So then presumably you have to get out of the issue of Maichazis in an alternative manner.
He didn't die anyway.
What?
He died anyway.
Get out of the issue of... No, but again, if you hold of Chayashah... So again, That's all you have to say. That's all I'm pointing out. So you seemingly have to, exactly, you have to assume that in this case, there is no factor of Maichazus, presumably. All I'm saying is that the Sanhedrin Katana doesn't seem to work as well. Because according to the Sanhedrin Katana, there still is an issue of Maichazus because of Chayesha. So therefore, I'm explaining, that's why when I said that the first assumption is that there is no Maichazus, but yet Yahar Vayavar would have applied because the Svara, because the Din is not totally on the Svara. Because again, the Sanhedrin Katana wouldn't work in here because according to the Sanhedrin Katana, you have an issue of Maichazus. If you have an issue of Maichazus, so then how can you apply the Din Rodef of the non-guilty variety? I mean, you hear what I'm saying there? Because exactly based on what you just said, should I repeat again?
Yeah.
In short, these Mefarshim, who basically Ramazbir, that the basis of Shitas Rav Yochanan is that they say it's the Din Rodef of the non-guilty variety. Right? And take a step back. We basically pointed out last time that the Chiddush of the Din Rodef of the non-guilty variety is that you somehow have to get around the issue of Maichazus. Because when you're dealing with the Rodef of the guilty variety, so that itself gets around Maichazus, because your guilt, or the guilt of the Rodef, the fact that he performs a Maisa Radifus, that deems his Nefesh inferior. Then we're dealing with a Shame Rodef of the non-guilty variety, so then you don't have that factor. So then seemingly you need to get out of the issue of Maichazus. So here, you exactly like the mayor said, you have the perfect out. Because here, since the guy is going to die anyways, since Mimanovshach wants to miyachid him, there's no Maichazus, because Mimanovshach, this guy is going to die. So therefore, the factor of Maichazus has been neutralized. So therefore, two assumptions. Assumption number one is that, although Maichazus has been neutralized, afal pikein, right, without the din of Rodev, you would have assumed the Yehar Bayavar would have applied ala the Kesa Mishnah, that the din of Yehar Bayavar is not tied down to the Svara. Assumption number two is that you have this notion of a shame rodef, even of the non-guilty variety. Sorry.
I just don't understand, because Moshe seems to say in the beginning, he asks on Rav Yochanan that there's my cousins because of Aisha.
And has he answered that question? I don't remember that part.
He answers it by saying that V'chim v'chach ha'momah should be pound of Dabki rodef.
Okay, so he's not a...
Yes,
so he has some...
Yes,
yeah.
In the moment, this doesn't make sense then, because how could he deal with the
Shulkamah? Yeah, so we're stuck. Yeah, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure how Moshe is going to learn. Because again, to say Shem Rodev of the non-guilty variety, that seemingly would not get around. Yeah, so I'm not sure how Moshe would learn like that. I'll say like but the Pasha is the way to explain for sure the Torah's run is seemingly by saying this idea that, yeah, there's no problem of Maichazus because, exactly, because Bimanovshach, the guy's going to die. But again, once you start invoking Chayesha, then you create more problems.
What was the question for Indo Vedef and Yedefesh?
What?
What was your question from Eidno Kadefesh
No, that's the same thing as Maichazus.
Oh, okay. We answered that.
Yeah, exactly. All I'm saying is that I'm just explaining why you couldn't explain I'm trying to explain why I'm not going for the Sanhedrin Katana. The Sanhedrin Katana explains, the reason why there's Yehar Vayavar here is because of Chayesha. So I'm trying to avoid that because if you held the Sanhedrin Katana, so then the Din Rodev wouldn't really do much for you, because at the end of the day, you still have the issue of Maichazus. Fine. So again, so Abkan is the Shita of Rav Yochanan, the first day of Rashi, that Yichud alone suffices. So again, two Pshatim, either because Yichud neutralizes Maichazus, and with the assumption that alone would undermine the Din Yehar Vayavar. Approach number two is that, no, you need to come onto the Din Rodef of the non-guilty variety. Fine. So now moving on to the second Shita of Reish Lakish. Right? Reish Lakish holds that the only reason why they could have given up Sheva Ben Bechri is why? Because two factors.
He's Chayv Misa.
Exactly. Because not only were they Miachid him, he's also Chayv Misa. So now we have to explain what's the basis of this Shita. Okay, so this is the Shita of Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi and Shumos. And they also have this second day of Rashi, right, just read. The Inami says it's Dafka when it's more Malchus. And also the Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah, hey, also paskins that you need both the factor of Yichud and the factor of Chiyuv Misa. So now let's analyze the Shita of why you would require both factors of Yichud and the fact of Chiyudis. Again, this is going to break down to analyzing why Yichud wouldn't suffice on its own. You have to first analyze that. And then you have to then analyze, so that once Yichud doesn't work on its own, so then what does the Chiyud Misa bring to the table? Why does the Chiyud Misa now somehow change the dynamic? So first, in terms of understanding why the Yishitos don't think that Yichud alone suffices, give me a face.
Well,
fine?
I'm just thinking
about it. Okay. Right. So first, to explain why Yichud alone doesn't suffice, two assumptions. Assumption number one is that the Din Yahar Bayavur of Ritzicha applies, right, despite the factor of Yichud. So yet this can be explained in two different ways. Again, why would the factor of Yahar Bayavur apply when you have Yichud? Right, presumably you would say, there's no Mechazis, right? Once you're Miyachid, so Mimanushach, this guy's going to die. So therefore, there's no Mechazis anymore. So why would this Shita hold that Yichud, even though Yichud alone seemingly neutralizes the factor of Mechazis, Afa Pikin, that wouldn't neutralize the Din or Yahar Bayavur? So you can say in two ways. Either you say, like the Kesef Mishnah, right? You say, like the Kesef Mishnah, that the basis of Din Yahar Bayavur of Ritzicha is not the Svar. And therefore, even though you knocked off Mechazis, Afa Pikin, the Din Yahar Bayavur still applies. Or you say the Sanhedrin Katana. And what does the Sanhedrin Katana say? That even in this case, there is still Mechazis. Why? Exactly. Because don't say, oh, Miman Avshach, Shevet Mimichra is going to die. Because the factor is of Chayesha. Because if you give him up, then he's going to die right away. But if you make them chase after him, then he's going to be able to live for a longer period of time. And that Chayesha alone is basically justifies a Mechazis. So again, two ways to explain why the Din Yahar Bayavur would apply, even though the Yichud alone seems to undermine the Mechazis, because either, even though the Mechazis is undermined, still the Din Yahar Bayavur still applies, Kesef Mishnah, or the Sanhedrin Ketanan says, no, there really is a Mechazis, even in such a case, based on the factor of Chayesha. Okay, fine. The second assumption of why... Right, the second assumption behind Yichud not working alone is that there is no Din Rodev, right? Because you have to knock out both Pshatim earlier. Right, the second Mahalach earlier was that Yichud alone basically triggers a Din Rodev of the non-guilty variety. So again, this approach, which rejects Yichud alone, must hold that there is no Din Rodev of the non-guilty variety. And therefore this approach, Reish Lakish holds, that the only time you have a Din Rodev is when the Rodev is responsible for his actions, and therefore the Yichud alone, just because the Maisa, B'mitzias, the Shevet B'michri, is now responsible for threatening the lives of others, since he's not responsible, there's no Din Rodev. So again, this very important, this Reish Lakish, basically is undermining that assumption and saying, taking the first approach, right, that there's only a Din Rodev when the Rodev is responsible for his actions. Fine. And again, the Torah Zeraim spells this out. Right, the Torah's Rum, when basically developing the basis of Shita's Reish Lakish, right, in contrast to Rav Yochanan, says, how gufa is the machlokes? That while Rav Yochanan, who holds that Yichud alone suffices, thinks that Yichud alone triggers the Din Rodev, because Din Rodev even applies when there's no guilt factor, Torah's Rum explains that the basis of Shita's Reish Lakish is that he argues and says, no, the Din Rodev is limited to a guilty Redifus, and therefore it doesn't apply in such a case of Yichud alone. So again, so far we would explain that within Reish Lakish, the reason why Reish Lakish and the second day Rashi and Rambam, the reason why Yichud alone doesn't suffice, right? Assumption number one is that the Yahar Vayavur doesn't apply, right? Either despite the fact that Mechazis has been neutralized, or because Mechazis hasn't been neutralized. Again, that's all within assumption number one. Assumption number two is that there's no Din Rodev based on Yichud alone, because Din Rodev requires guilt. Assumption number two. And now, the second part that we have to deal with is, so once we just established that according to Reish Lakish, the Yichud alone doesn't suffice, so then why now does the Chiyuv Misa change anything? What exactly is the Koveya of Chiyuv Misa? Why is it, now once Shevet Michri is Chiyuv Misa, so now we can give him up? Now we're going to see that there are two different approaches to what the impact of the Chiyuv Misa is. So the first approach, it's probably the Pashup shot. What would you think is the impact of Chiyah Misa?
He says life.
Exactly, it's a Gavra Katila. Well, that's what you would assume. The fact is, Chiyah Misa means the Gavra Katila. Once it's the Gavra Katila, so then, there's no shame Ritzicha. And therefore, there's no Yahar Vayavor of Ritzicha, because since he's the Gavra Katila, there's no shame Ritzicha on a Gavra Katila. That would presumably be the Pashup shot. And according to this approach, again, two important points. Point number one, it seemingly wouldn't matter why he was Chayav Misa, right? He wouldn't, let's say he could be Chayav Misa disconnected to the game, right? Let's say he's Chayav Misa because he was over for Shabbos, right? He was Mechal Shabbos before, right? He was Mechal Shabbos b'mezid, so he's Chayav Misa, right? As long as a guy for Ketila, as long as Nigmar Dina b'mezidin, should be Chayav Misa. So again, point number one, again, according to this first approach, that it's the impact of the Chayav Misa is Gavra Ketila. So point number one is that it seemingly shouldn't matter why you're Chayav Misa. And point number two, seemingly in order to justify the Gavra Ketila status, there needs to be a Chayav Misa Midine Bezdin. Right? Midine Yisrael, it needs to be, because in order for you to get a Gavra Ketila status, you need to be Chayav Misa in Bezdin. So again, this point might sound pashut, but again, it's going to be contrasted with the second approach. The second approach is going to say that the impact of the Chayav Misa is not that it triggers a status of Gavra Ketila. It's rather that it renders this Rodev, it renders this person a Shem Rodev. Meaning, because now that he's Chayav Misa, he is now guilty. We'll explain this in a moment. But basically, when you're just miyached, a random person, so then, yeah, that's a rodev of the non-guilty variety, because it's not his fault. But once he's Chayav Misa, and perhaps, and we'll see, and once his Chayav Misa is the reason why they're chasing after him, like in the case of Shebet Ben Bichri, right? Why were they chasing after him? Because he was more in Babalchus. So there, the factor that he was Chayav Misa is not just a random factor, oh, he was Mechal Shabbos. Is it not specifically a Chayav Misa, which is the reason why he's being chased down by the Mahalach? So therefore, according to this second Mahalach, the reason, the direct impact of the Chayav Misa is not just, oh, the Gavra Ketila status. It's specifically now that it makes him a Shem Rodev because it renders him a guilty Rodev. Again, remember, this Reish Lakish Shita holds that the Shem Rodev is limited to a case where the Rodev is guilty. So according to this, according to Reish Lakish, you need the Chayav Misa in order to render him a guilty Rodev, in order to render him a Shem Rodev. And as we're going to see, so pointing out now, the Bich Chiddush here is that the Chayav Misa only renders him a guilty Rodev if the Chayav Misa is connected to why they're chasing after him. Like in the case of Shem Ben Bichri, where the only reason why Yoav was chasing after him is because he's married to Malchus. So what's the makor for this? Two potential makoros. Number one is the Taz. Right, the Taz specifically says, he basically makes a deal. The Shulchan Aruch, when he paskins, when the Shulchan Aruch paskins, he specifically says, the Shulchan Aruch, Chayav Misa Kisheva Ben Bichri. Doesn't just say, oh, you're Chayav Misa. You're in Chayav Misa just like Sheva Ben Bichri. So the Taz says that, Bichidish, that the case of Sheva Ben Bichri, he wasn't Chayav Misa in Din, says the Taz. The Lashon is, the Avap de Bidin Torah, Lohaya Chayav Misa, he wasn't really Chayav Misa, Elamitzad Chok HaMalchus Shemarad B'David. He happened to have rebelled against David, so David, you know, put in his general and told his general to kill him. He wasn't actually Chayav in Din. So the way the Taz says it is that the Chayav Misa that we're talking about is not a Chayav Misa B'dinei Bezdin. It's that as long as the person Lamaisa is being chased for a reason, says the Taz, therefore Hu Adinami, in a case where a person is being chased by the local government because he was Poshea by annoying them. The local government doesn't grant him a Chayav Misa, doesn't grant him a Gavra Ketila status. The Taz is obviously not holding that the koveya of the Chayav Misa is a Gavra Ketila, because the Taz is giving examples where there is no Gavra Ketila status. Right, in the case of Shem Ben Bichri, he wasn't Chayav Malchus. He wasn't Chayav Misa Bidin. And the case that he gives, where you annoy the local government, where they're coming to kill you, you know, that's the fact that the local government is chasing to kill you, that doesn't make you a gavra katila. So obviously the Taz doesn't think that the koveya of the chiyah nisa is gavra katila. It's rather suggesting this other idea that you are responsible for them chasing you. And therefore, if you annoy the local authorities and now they're coming and they're coming to kill you, and now you run into a city, and now the local authorities come to the city and say, give up this annoying guy, this criminal, or we'll kill all of you. So in that case, you give him up because he's responsible. He's a guilty rodev. When he annoys them, when he gets in trouble with the local authorities and then comes to the city, he's not just, non-guilty rodev, he's a guilty rodev. So that would be the pshat and the taz, that the impact of the chiyav misa is not gavra katila. It's rather, it renders you guilty and therefore gives you a shame rodev. And then, not only the taz, and then I'll take questions, the Torah Zraim also seems to say this. Again, when he's contrasting Rav Yochanan with Reish Lakish, he says the pshat and Reish Lakish, that the reason why you need a chiyav misa is because otherwise, a rodev can only be a rodev if he's guilty. So again, while the Torah Zraim doesn't spell this out explicitly, it seems to emerge from the Torah Zraim. The Torah Zraim says the pshat in Reish Lakish is that you need a chiyav misa as a shear in your shame rodev. That the chiyav misa renders you a guilty rodev in order for you to have a shame rodev. So in this, as you can see, obviously connects to our overall discussion, because what's coming out is that one of the assumptions of Rav Yochanan, that yichud alone suffices, according to at least some Mefarshim, is that a shame rodev of the non-guilty variety grants you a shame rodev. Well, Reish Lakish is arguing, no, you dafka need a chiyav misa in order to make you a guilty party, guilty rodev, because a shame rodev is limited to a situation where you're responsible for your defus. Yeah.
Where would you draw the line? Whenever the government wants somebody, you're going to say, they want it.
Yeah, so he uses the lashon of posheya. It sounds like it's a pshia.
You mean by treatment,
No, that wouldn't be considered posheya.
So what? A
pshia. Again, there are pshia, the chol Torah kula, by shomrim. There are gedarim.
You
have to,
pshia, does that mean? Pshia meaning you did something?
You're negligent.
But let's say the thing you're negligent with is not illogical law,
So, that'd be a gray area. You have to figure out, it's a gray area. I'm not sure. But again, for the Taz, again, Lishi Tazo, I think it works out very nicely. For him, together is Poshea, because it's all about being guilty. And once you're Poshea, right, once you're negligent, so then you're responsible. And once you're responsible, now we can grant you a shame brother. Again, to be clear, the Taz doesn't say that part. That's my pshat. It doesn't spell out this whole idea that it's all about a sheer and a shame brother, because a brother needs to be guilty. But again, once the alternative doesn't apply, once the chiyav misa is obviously not a sheer gavra katila, because the fact that the local authorities are chasing after you obviously don't give you a shame gavra katila. So again, I think it's mistaber, according to the parameters that he sets forth, that he thinks the pshat is, the chiyav misa is a sheer in you becoming a guilty roldif, and therefore the koveya is poshe. Yeah.
Rebbe said that the fact that tzadim need a guilty roldif is the Torah's onish. We're going to get him the Torah's onish.
Serio? Not necessarily.
How could, if you need a guilty rodev?
No, because perhaps you need a guilty rodev in order to
make it less.
I mean, in terms of to trigger idoch nefesh with nefesh, or it could be that's just the only time you have a chiyav misa. Only time there, the din hatzala, The way they say it, the way a lot of Mepharshim just say it, is that how can you mechayev someone misa for something he's not responsible for? To be chiddush, to be,
But it doesn't need to be on the tzad onesh.
What?
It doesn't need to be on the tzad onesh.
I don't think so. It could be, I think it could simply be just from the perspective of indocha nefesh,
and
nefesh. Correct. I think.
Isn't every case when someone's singled out to be killed, in a city, isn't almost every case the case that he bothers on?
This is early. Let's say he's not responsible.
What do you mean?
Let's say you're a leader. Let's say the guy is a leader and they want to kill the leader.
They want to kill, so you're responsible for running. Is it the same idea?
You're responsible for being a leader?
No. The rabbi said that he's responsible for bothering the game.
No, but that's only, as the Taz said, it's only if you're Poshea. Meaning, a lot of times,
It's like he's poshe in the eyes of the people who want to kill him.
Right? No. But we mean poshe from objectively, from our perspective. Right, and therefore, only if he does something which is negligent. If he's like just like a leader, right, and the guy just want to, you know, kill the leader of the Jews for whatever reason, it's happened before, that's, you know, that's an example where they're miyachid him, but he's not responsible for that.
According to the second approach, makes a lot of sense why they'd be miyachid him, because, like, we're dealing with brothers, but for the first approach, that it's just because now he's, but since he's Chai Misa, now we can give him over, so why would they need to be miyachid him?
Yeah, that's a good question. I skipped that. That's my notes. That, for sure, yeah, according to the God of Katila approach, it's unclear why you would need both Chiyav Misa and Yichud. Again, the problem is that most of the Mefarshim and Sugya would say not only Yichud, but also more Malchus, Chiyav Misa. But again, according to that first Svara of God for Katila, once the guy's a God for Katila, why do they need to be Miyachid? And, you know, there should be no problem with Eindoch and Nefesh and Nefesh, because he's a God for Katila. Why can't you just choose him? So I'm not sure what the answer to that is. That's a good question.
Also, the second day of Rashi goes with the Rava.
Yeah, okay. And you need more machos. Basically, so you have Rish Lakish, second day of Rashi, and the Rava will all say you need both Yichud and more machos. Yeah, to be fair, the Rambam clearly says you need both, and I think Rish Lakish and the Yerushalmi also says you need both. If you look carefully at the Lashon of Rashi, it's not clear that you need both. But again, the problem is that Rashi doesn't talk about Yichud at all. It could be that just assumed because he's talking about Shevet Bichri. So, unclear. He doesn't like explicitly state that you need Yichud, but at the same time, he might just be taking that for granted. So, okay. So, Akkad, the first half, which is, you know, the Indian of Mesir Lamisa. Again, we discussed two shitas in the Sugya, whether Yichud alone versus Yichud and Chiyav Misa. We saw that it impacts a number of issues, including our big issue about whether the shame roldev is limited to a guilty roldev or whether it also extends to a non-guilty roldev. So the second Indian we're going to discuss, which also is, you know, important enough kamina from this larger issue, is the case of uber roldev, right? It's another example of a roldev, I won't call it a person, an uber, which is responsible, which is threatening the life of its mother, but again, in a non-guilty manner. So let's just read the Shach HaVitaria in our Gemara, just that one line. David Guniman, the see Isve, Rav Chista the Rav Huna, I am Bezim Bez. See right after Amar Rav Huna. Towards the end of them. So what's the price said? What does the price say?
That the Uber is coming out, so if his head already came out, so we're not allowed to touch him, because Endoch Nefesh Bnei
Nefesh. And what's the ratio? Yeah, doesn't say, but what's the ratio of this price?
If
this
it didn't come out, so you could Mechat
Chino someone. Exactly, right? If it did, when the Uber is still in utero, so then we do kill it. So the Gemara challenges the safe, all right?
The Amai wrote it for.
Right, even so, after it comes out, he's being rolled with his mother. So what do you think the push-up shot there?
It's not a guilty road. If he does it,
he exactly. Yeah. What? Exactly, right, exactly. There's no bechira here. Exactly. Fine, great. Okay, so we're going to see within the Inyan of Uber Rodev, we're going to see there can be two different approaches about whether we characterize the Uber as a rodev, and it's exactly going to, you know, align with our with the schachi we're discussing about whether we apply a shame rodev to a non-guilty rodev. That's going to be the issue at hand. So again, it all starts with that Mishnah and Olos, the Gemara just quoted, and how you interpret both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So with that, let's go. So the first approach in the sugya is that an uber is not a rodev. Why? Because he's not responsible. Again, this first approach assumes that a shame rodev, the din rodev, is limited to a rodev who is guilty, and therefore a rodev which is not guilty, lav shmei rodev. That's going to be the first approach. So the first makor for this is the pashtus of the Bavli. Exactly like David just pointed out, Right, the Pashan understanding of the answer to Mishamia Karat Tfilah is that the Ubar is not a Rodev because he's not guilty. There's no Bechira there, obviously. He was just born. No Bechira there. He's not guilty, and therefore you can't grant him a Shem Rodev. That is clearly the Pashpshat in the Bavli, but that's not going to stop others, such as Ramosha, you know, from reinterpreting it. But again, the Pashpshat of the Bavli is that there's no Shem Rodev for an Ubar who is not guilty. The second potential makor for this, you know, quote your grandfather in just a moment, is the Rambam Hilchos Rotzeach, according to the Rav's Mechudosh understanding. And again, this is so quoted in the Ramuz article, Rabbi Willig's article. He quotes the Rav as having a very Mechudosh interpretation of the Rambam. Anyone have the Rambam Hilchos Rotzeach? Please. Always very important. Whenever a Rishon says like ke, always quite a big question is how to understand the kaf adinyan. So we're going to see that the Rambam, you might not have noticed it, but you use the lashon of ki rotev. The question is how to take that. So with that, Rambam Hilchos Rotzeach, Parak Aleph, Halacha Tes.
So first he says, I raise you mitzvahs lo sashi shalol lachas anav shalodev. So in general, that Navi have mercy on him. He's like Rodif the killer.
Oh, so stop there for now. So again, if you read the Rambam quickly, and the way most of the Farshim understand the Rambam, is that, look, the Rambam is characterizing an Uber as a Rodif, and therefore wouldn't be within this first approach, it would be the second approach. But the Rav, supposedly, is quoted by Mordechai Willig, says that when the Rambam says Mipneshu ki rodef, he means ki rodef, but not rodef mamish. And the Rav invokes another very important Rambam, Hilchos Chovel Umazik, Perek Ches, Halacha Tezvav. You have it there?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So open up the Rambam, where the Rambam, in another place, uses not a lashon ki rodef, but kimo rodef. So again, the Rav is pointing out that the Rambam clearly has, there's one category called Rodev, another category of Ki Rodev / Kimo Rodev. So what's, you see?
Yeah. Svina Shechal Shali Shavim Yikovet Amasori, that a Svina that's loaded down too much that's going to break, or it's going to sink or whatever. The Almad Echa Mehem Mehekom Yimasa V'Hishchav B'Yam Pater, that somebody who threw the load off into the Yam is Pater. Why? Shamasa Shabba Kimo Rodif Achre and Mahargum Mitzvah Rabba also Shahishtah Boshiyom.
So there the Rambam, says the Rav, has this new category of a Kimo Rodif. So says the Rav, what the Rambam here means to say is, I mean, the Rambam for sure is not characterizing the Ubar as a Rodif, because says the Rav, that there's no concept of a non guilty Rodif. So therefore, what the Rambam means to do here is characterize the Ubar as the Kamo Rodev, just like the Masui. Right? Obviously the Masui is not an actual Rodev, it's an inanimate object. But yet the Rambam has this new classification called a Kamo Rodev, which says the Rav is only able to be Matir like low-level Isurim. Right? So while the Din Rodev allows you to kill a person, this new category of Kamo Rodev or Ki Rodev only allows you to be over low-level Isurim, such as Mazik, right, in the case of Chovel Mazik there, right, if that box is, you know, threatening the rest of the ship, you're allowed to throw it off, even though it belongs to someone else, it's an Isur Mazik, but this new din of Kimo Rodev allows you to be Mazik someone else's property, and so too, says the Rav, what's going on here, and this is a very important issue, the Rav thinks that the Isur of, you know, being Mechatech, the Uber, is that not that the Uber has the status of a quasi-nefesh, but rather that the Uber is not defined as a nefesh at all, and this is the issue of being mechatech and Uber is a separate issue, it's an isser of chaval asaim, being choval the mother. That's the only isser at hand. And therefore, all the Rambam is doing by saying is kirodev, is that it's this new category of kimorodev, which is only matir, these low-level isserim. But again, big picture, the Rav claims that there's no notion of a din rodev for a non-guilty party. So again, the Rav interprets the Rambam along the lines of the Pashas of the Bavli, that there is no din rodef of the non-guilty variety, and therefore an ubar doesn't have the classical din of a rodef. It happens to be, and we'll see, that has major implications in terms of the status of an ubar, as you can tell already. That basically, if you consider the ubar a rodef, so then you can justify killing the Uber, even if the Uber has the status of almost like a quasi-nefesh, right? Even though, generally, even if you think that killing an Uber, like abortion, would be like Ritzicha, still, if you think that the Uber is a Rodef, so that would justify that. But if you want to play down the status of a Rodef, status of an Uber as a Rodef, and say, no, the Rodef isn't, the Uber is not a Rodef, so then you have to severely downplay the status of an Uber, right? Because if there's no Din Rodef here, so then what would justify killing the Uber, it must be that the Uber is not a nefesh. So again, this issue about whether you consider the Uber to be a rodef has major, major ramifications in terms of the issue of what the status of an Uber is. Again, that's the part that we're not going to get to, but I just want to reference that. You know, one last thing. And actually, Rabbi Wulig holds to this first shita. He does not like, this is part of this article, he does not like the notion of a non-guilty rodef. He thinks, of course, the shame rodef is limited to a guilty rodef, and therefore he likes this chandra up. Again, this could have major ramifications in terms of what the status of an Uber is. Because again, once the Uber is not a rodef, and yet obviously the Reisha says that when an Uber is still in utero, you're allowed to be mechatek. So obviously you're holding that despite the lack of a din rodef, you're still allowed to be mechatek. The Uber must be that the status of an Uber has been downgraded to not being an nefesh at all, or something of the sort. No?
Oh, sorry. If the Uber is like, if we're saying that the Uber is like a masol, then why would we need to come out the kirudif? I mean, if we're saying it's the chavol of the aim, so shouldn't it be she's masking for that? She wants that to save herself. So why do you need a hetter?
But are you bailam on your own chavala?
You let it.
It's a whole issue about being bailam. Should I ask Rabbi Willie if you're allowed to go paintballing? That's an issue being chavala.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be chavala. So again, so in order to be matzah, you still need this quasi kimo rodef. Yeah. Okay. So again, so far is the first approach. So we're nearing the end. Right, again, so far is the first approach, again, that the Uber lacks a Din Rodef, because Din Rodef is limited to a guilty party. So you have the Pashas of the Bavli, Mishamia Karatzvila, sounds like, right, the Uber doesn't have a status of a Rodef because it's not guilty. And then the Ravs, you know, Pshat in the Rambam, that it's Dafka Kid Rodef, but not a Rodef Mamish. But now, moving on to the second Mahalach, which says that, no, an Uber is a Rodef. Right, despite the fact that an Uber isn't guilty, he still has a shame rodef, because again, the second approach accepts the notion that there's in addition to the shame rodef of the guilty variety, there is also a shame rodef of the non-guilty variety. We're going to see the following occurs. And I'll just point that out right now. Again, the only counter pressure to the issue of this shame rodef of the non-guilty variety, it was the fact that, what do you mean? So what do you do about Ein Docha Nefesh B'nei Nefesh? But again, in the context of Uber, that's not going to be a problem. Because here, the issue is the mother's Nefesh versus the Uber's Nefesh. So exactly. So therefore, at the most, you're going to say an Uber is a quasi-Nefesh. It's not Nefesh Gamor, like the mother. So therefore, the way these Rishonim are going to say it is that once you grant a Shem Rodev to the Uber, even though it's the non-guilty variety, that's still going to justify killing the Rodef. Don't tell me in Docha Nefesh B'nei Nefesh, because there's a clear, because yes, we choose the mother's Nefesh is clearly superior to the Nefesh of the Uber. So as you're pointing out, whenever you apply this notion of the shame rodef of the non-guilty variety, you have to explain why there's no problem of Ein Docha Nefesh B'nei Nefesh. So earlier, when we applied in the Sheva Ben Bichri Sugya, we pointed out that there's no issue of Ein Docha Nefesh B'nei Nefesh because of the factor of Yichud, which basically neutralizes the factor of Mechazes, because Mimamashach, that guy, Shevin Bichri, is going to die. Here, the way you get out of the issue of Ein Docha Nefesh B'nei Nefesh is because, yeah, the Nefesh of the Ubar is clearly inferior to the Nefesh of the mother. So what are the Makoros which support this second approach, which basically grant a Shem Rodev to an Uber? What? Yeah, so before that, what's their earlier source for this? The Yerushalmi. Because how does the Yerushalmi explain, right? How does the Yerushalmi explain why, right, in the Seifa, right, when after the Uber is born, why does the Yerushalmi say that we no longer kill the Uber?
It's a real person.
We don't know what's
going on.
It's like a real person.
Real person slash...
You don't know who your
heart is. Exactly. She ain't at yodea mi haraget me. So what's the implication of that Yerushalmi? Implication is, ain't a chanami, the Ubar is a rodev. But the only reason why once he's born, you can't kill him, because despite the fact that he's a rodev, the mother is also a rodev. So they're both being rodev each other. Gets back to what we were discussing before. So says the Yerushalmi, the only reason why we don't kill the rodev The only reason why we don't kill the Ubar, who's a rodev, after he's born, is because the mother is also being rodev him. But the implication is, but he is a rodev, it just is going in both directions. As the Karban Eda explains, like, what's this suffix about who's being rodev who? So the Karban Eda on the spot says, "She'in anu yodim mihu harodev." We don't know who is the rodev. Im ha'ema akvaso shelo yetze. Is it like the mother's body who's the issue at hand, and really she's putting his life in danger, and therefore putting her life in danger is basically her body's fault. Therefore, she's the rodev of the again. This is again another example of a rodev of the non-guilty variety. Oh, who bitachifaso latzeis harayezimo, or is the Uber responsible because some reason the way he's coming out, that's what is, you know, creating this issue of Sakana. Hilgoch ain't no gimbo. But again, according to the Yerushalmi, especially as, you know, explicated by the Karban Eidah, they're both rodev each other. They both have a shame rodev. The reason why we don't kill either one is because, you know, it's a tie. Rodev, they're both rodev each other. So again, but it's clear for the Yerushalmi that you have a shame rodev of the non-guilty variety, that the Ubar has the status of a rodev. The Torah's Rambam, that same piece, again, he's discussing this idiot, so that's a very important piece, makes this very diuk of the Yerushalmi, that it's very clear for the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi applies a shame rodev, even of the non-guilty variety, and that's why the Yerushalmi considers the Uber to be a rodev. Fine. Oh. So now, the next Mefarish, or Makor, for this idea that the Uber is a rodev, is the Pashup Shat in the Rambam. So now go back to the Rambam, we'll read it again, without placing such a strong emphasis on the Ki Rodev, the implication seems to be that he's actually considering the Uber to be a rodev. So start again. So Pashpshat is the Rambam is saying, we're going to have to finish the Rambam because the Seifa is going to be a problem. So this point he says, the reason why, right, when the Ubar is still in his mother's stomach, in utero, the reason why you kill him is because he's a Rodev. Right? So again, this Pashpshat, the Rambam, is understood by most Mepharshim, yet the Rambam actually considers the Ubar to be a Rodev, and that justifies the Psak of the Risha that we kill the Rodev in utero. But then the problem is that when the Rambam justifies the Seifa, that when he comes out, why you don't kill him, he seems to say that he's not a rodev. Continue.
The image shahotzi rosho ain't dogin ball, she ain't dochen nefesh, but no nefesh, but zel tibble shalom.
Right, but once he comes out, so then we say, no, ain't dochen nefesh, but no nefesh. And seemingly, don't tell me that the Uber is a rodev, because zel tibble shalom seems to be the Rambam's, you know, a paraphrasing of the Gemara, Mishamik Karat Tfilo. This is all in nature, right? The Uber is not responsible for his Rudifus. So therefore, when he comes out, you can't kill him because he's not a Rodev. So the obvious question that everyone asks on the Rambam is, you know, Kasha Risha Seifa. Is he a Rodev or is he not a Rodev? How can you justify the Psak of the Risha? Say, oh, we kill the Rodev, you kill the Ubar in utero because he's a Rodev. But when it comes out, you don't kill him because he's not a Rodev. In both cases, he's not guilty. So if you consider a non-guilty Rodev to be a Rodev, so then you should be a Rodev even in the Seifa, even after it comes out. And if you think that a non-guilty Rodev is not a Rodev, so then what's the Risha? Why would you kill him in utero? So that's the big kasha that everyone asks of the Rambam. So we're going to suggest three answers. Not suggest, we're going to present three answers to this question. Two of them from Reb Chaim, two different versions of Reb Chaim, which in essence seem to be the same thing. And then Reb Moshe, and with that, we'll close. I think we might even get to Moshe. So we're going to see that there are two different versions of Reb Chaim. One is quoted by Rav Yisrael Meltzer and Eben Ezel, and the other one is Reb Chaim himself in Chibra. So again, it's important to note that while Reb Chaim in both places uses different lashonos, it seems to be the same idea. And we already referenced it yesterday. In short, right, the question that we're posing in the Rambam is, the first half of the Rambam, he says he is a Rodev, and then the end of the Rambam, he says he's not a Rodev. So that's a stira. So in essence, both Reb Chaims are basically answering as follows, by saying, in classical form, there are two dinim, there are two types of Rodev, and therefore, the Rambam in the beginning is saying that he is Rodev type A, and in the end he's saying, but he's not Rodev type B. And we'll fill in the structure. The structure is going to be that while he is Rodev type A, but Rodev type A only justifies killing him when he's in utero. But once he's born and he's a full nefesh, so then the only basis to kill him would be if he's Rodev type B. We'll explain this all in a second. But he's not Rodev type B because he's not responsible. And as we pointed out, both the versions of Reb Chaim basically come down to the two dinim that we've been describing. The two types of Rodev that we've been describing. Right? Rodev type A is the Rodev of the non-guilty variety, and Rodev type B, and that Uber is, he's a shame Rodev, but Metzias, he is causing a threat to his mother's life. So the Rambam says, he is the shame Rodev of the non-guilty variety. But what he's not, is that he's not a shame Rodev of the guilty variety, Rodev type B. And therefore, as we've been discussing, when the Ubar is in utero, and he's not a Nefesh, so then it suffices to have the shame Rodev of the non-guilty variety. Because since there's no problem of Ein Docheh Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh, because the mother's life is clearly superior to the nefesh of the Ubar in utero, so then as long as you have a shame Rodev, even of the non-guilty variety, so that will justify killing the Ubar in utero. But once the Ubar is born, and now he's a full nefesh, so now you have the issue of Ein Docheh Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh, so now the only way you would justify killing him is if you'd have Shem Rodev of the guilty variety, and the Rambam in essence is saying that no, because it's Tzivil Sha'olam, because Mishamei Karatz Vila, he's not guilty, and therefore you can't kill him in that scenario. That in essence is the structure of Reb Chaim. Again, beginning of the Rambam says he is a Rodev, and the Rambam says he's not a Rodev. Answer is, he's describing two types of Rodev. The difference between the two Reb Chaims is just the terminology that he associates with these two different dinim of Rodev, but it, in essence, comes down to the same thing. We'll just plug it in now. So as the Reb Chaim is quoted by the Eben Ezel, he describes two types of Rodev, basically a Gavra Rodev and a Chetzer Rodev. He doesn't use this exact lashonos, but that's in essence what the Eben Ezel is quoting him as saying. And basically, the way the Eben Ezel quotes Reb Chaim is saying is that there's a type of Rodev where you're a Gavra, or right, you're a person who's a Rodev, and there's a second type of Rodev where you're a Chetzah Rodev, or an inanimate object. And basically what Reb Chaim is saying, that an Ubar is considered a Chetzah Rodev, but he's not considered a Gavra Rodev. And therefore, plug it in like you said before. The only time a Chetzah Rodev, you know, triggers the Din Misa for the Chetzah is when it's just a Chetzah, when you're not a Nefesh. And therefore, in utero, when the, exactly along the lines you're saying, therefore, in utero, when the ubar is not a nefesh, so therefore, the chefza harodef, the non-guilty variety, again, chefza meaning inanimate, not responsible, so therefore, that chefza harodef, the non-guilty, you know, rodef suffices, because you don't need to justify killing a nefesh, but when it comes to the sefer, the Rambam is saying, but when the ubar is born, and therefore in order to justify killing a full nefesh, you need to have what we call a gavra harodef, which is basically means a rodef who's responsible for his actions, and that is lacking in the case of an ubar. So again, as you can see, it's all plugging in. So again, while Reb Chaim, according to Evan Ezel, uses the lashonos of chetza harodef and gavra harodef, again, we're just re-terming, a guilty rodef or non-guilty rodef and a guilty rodef. So Reb Chaim in Chibur has a different lashonos, even more oblique, ambiguous. Lashon of din rodef and chiyav rodef. Anyone see it? Everyone getting to see it inside? Starting. What? Yeah. Do you see those lashonos?
Right.
But he has these lashonos of a din rodef and a chiyav rodef. And he says that basically an ubar of the non-guilty, he doesn't say the non-guilty part, but that an ubar has a din rodef, but not a chiyav rodef. And then he spells out this part of the analysis, that when it comes to chiyav rodef, so that does two things. That neutralizes the factor of ein docha nefesh mili nefesh, and generates a chiyav misa for the rodef. But the din rodef only generates a chiyav misa for the rodef, but doesn't get around the ein docha nefesh mili nefesh. So says Reb Chaim, it all plugs in. Therefore, when it comes to an ubar in utero, where there's no problem of ein docha nefesh mili nefesh, so there the din rodef suffices, plug in, it suffices to be a non-guilty rodef, because you don't need the guilt in order to get around ein docha nefesh mili nefesh, because at this point he's not a full nefesh, and therefore it's clear that the nefesh of the mother trumps the nefesh of the ubar. It's only at the end of the Rambam that once he's born, so now you have an issue of ein docha nefesh mili nefesh, where the Rambam says, but he's lacking in the chiyav rodef, and because you're lacking the chiyav rodef, you still have the issue of ein docha nefesh b'nei nefesh. But again, whether it doesn't matter really which version of Reb Chaim, it's the same idea that we're developing. Two types of din rodef. The Rambam is saying that he has the uber is the non guilty version, but is not the guilty version, and therefore it has not come to whether he's born and he's a full nefesh. Does that make sense? Okay. So now.
Why do we need the rodef here at all? Because of my cousins, that's Masha, that if you know that a nefesh is less valuable, you can kill it even without the rodef.
So do we just.
By Umar, we know it's lower level nefesh.
Yeah, but we don't just kill a lower level nefesh for anything.
Why? Isn't that those farmers don't know which one's more?
But again, you need the threat. Meaning
that's the stabdur.
What?
That's the stabdur din rodef. My chazis.
Yeah.
If you don't have my chazis, you still can't kill if there's no din rodef.
Yeah, I mean, without din rodef, like, you don't just go around and kill them. Just because the.
I think the only reason you can't be that receive a jar of my yavo is because it's part of my chazis.
Correct.
So that is part of my chazis.
But again, but you need the threat to the life, right? The only.
Yeah.
We're just saying that Hagufa is the din rodef.
You don't need
the rodef. That's what din rodef is. The din rodef of the non-guilty variety is that once this uber is threatening the life of the mother, so then we're going to say that, yeah, because there's an imbalance here, we're going to kill the uber in order to save the mother. But again, that's...
The only question is whether we call that a rodef, whether we call that the rodef.
Yeah.
The average basket to that.
Well, not necessarily. Well, not everybody.
Why?
Again, according to the... You're going to see it. Meaning, some people... Meaning, if you don't... very important. If you don't adopt this... If you don't think there's a din rodef of the non-guilty variety, so then the only way you can justify killing the uber is if the uber doesn't have the status of a nefesh at all.
Why can't you kill a little nefesh?
Because that's it's ritzicha.
My cousins. The only time ritzicha is generally operates with my cousins. We know it's lower level nefesh than know my
causes. So again, this gets back to the other point. This is the same analysis as before. This obviously assumes that the my causes is not the driving force behind the Harlei Avar. This is parallel. Remember we said before, the people who need to come onto the Din Rode, if you have to assume that even though my Chazus has been neutralized, still the Din Harlei Avar will still apply. Okay. So the last answer, and this will close, right, again, so far, the first two answers are basically two versions of Rabbi, which in essence are the same thing. But the last approach to the Rambam is Rav Moshe. Right? Rav Moshe is a slightly different version of explaining the Rambam. So the Rav Moshe agrees to Rav Chaim, in a sense, and with the second approach, that an Uber is a Rodef, right? Even though the Uber is not responsible for his actions, there is a Shem Rodef, even of the non-guilty variety. Rav Moshe goes so far to say that this is even shot in the Bavli. For some reason, Rav Moshe is so convinced by this idea that he learns the Bavli in light of the Yerushalmi. He says that when the Bavli says Mishamaya Karat Tvila, that in essence just means Inata Yodea Mi Rodef Et Mi. Unclear exactly how he reads that into Mishamaya Karat Tvila, but basically, in essence, Rav Moshe says the Pshat and the Bavli is like the Yerushalmi, that really the Bavli agrees an Uber has a Din Rodef. The only reason why we don't kill the Uber Rodef after he's alive is because after he's born, so then they're both equal Rodefim in both directions. Okay. Point number one. So how does Rav Moshe now explain the Risha? It's the Rambam. You still have the Stira, right? Why does Rambam say that in utero the Uber is a Rodef? But somehow after he's born, he's not a Rodef. So again, Rav Chaim answered by saying two dinim. And then, right, the Rambam is discussing two types of Rodef. Rav Moshe doesn't say that. Rav Moshe says we're talking about one din of Rodef. So then, how do you explain? So Rav Moshe says the gedder of a Rodef depends on the balance of the nefashos between the Rodef and the Nirdef. Namely, in the Reisha, in the case in utero, where, right, again, according, and Rav Moshe assumes both the mother and the Uber are like being Rodef each other. But the way we ascertain who has the Din Rodef is by seeing whose Redifus is challenging more. By that I mean the power. When it comes to the Reisha in utero, when the Uber is still in the stomach, so then what's going on? The mother is being Rodef a quasi-nefesh, while the Uber is being Rodef a full nefesh. So says Rav Moshe, B'shem the Rabba, in that case, the Uber is the Rodef because he is being Rodef a full nefesh, while the mother, which outweighs the mother's Redifus, which is just being Rodef, a quasi-nefesh. Masha Enke, in the Seifa, the reason why, in that case, the Uber is no longer a Rodef, because at that point, once the Uber is now a full-fledged Nefesh, so now they're equal Rodefim. Because just like the Uber is being Rodef, the full Nefesh of the mother, now the mother is being Rodef, a full Nefesh of the child. So according to Rav Moshe, the way he sees it, is that when you're being Magdir, the Din Rodef, you have to take into account the status of the Nirdav. And basically, the person who's going to be defined as the Rodev is the person who's defined as being a more severe Rodev. And therefore, what the Rambam says, in the Reisha, right, where the Uber is not yet Nefesh, so there the mother is not a Rodev, and only the Uber is a Rodev, because the Uber is being Rodev a full Nefesh, and the mother is only being Rodev a quasi-Nefesh, so that imbalance grants the lone Shem Rodev to the Uber. Masha Enkein, once the Uber is born, and now Eindoch and Nefesh, they're both equal Nefashos. So now, the Uber doesn't have a Shem Rodef, because they cancel each other out, because they're both equal Rodefim. So that's the way Rav Moshe understands the Chiluk through the Reisha of the Seifa of the Rambam.
How does he explain the Shemai Karatvila?
I don't know how he understands the words. He says that Mishamaya Karatvila is the Bavli's way of saying in ata yodea mi rodef et mi. Because he thinks the Bavli is exactly like the Yerushalmi. It's a little dachuk in the words, But it's like sometimes you have that emotion. Like he has something, he has a certain smar that he likes, so boom, he goes with it. It's like a perfect example of that. He holds the svara of the Yerushalmi that the Uber has a shame rodif and says, must be the Bavli agrees to this.
And Baruch Haim, he said, Mishmaik Rav, no matter what?
But Pashas means that you're not a guilty rodif.
Okay.
So the last thing I want to quote is
that. Did he say that, or were you saying that within his?
You know, that's the way he understands. Yeah, that's the way he says it. So it's fascinating, and just this will close. But Rav Moshe, at the very end, he says, after giving his pshat, he, you know, was exposed to Rav Chaim. You guys see this line? It's beautiful. You see the parentheses at the end of the Igros Moshe? You mind reading, David? Which is a fascinating thing. Rav Moshe says, oh, after writing out my whole Shtikol Torah, I saw Rav Chaim Shtikol Torah. Look, you see the parentheses? Achar Ezo Shanim? Yeah, it's the last one. Fascinating, right? It's great. It's a great find.
אחרי זה שם שהוציאוני השם ישבר חזור על זה לבייסי למדינה הזאת מצאתי שאני פס חידש הגון בן חיים על דיוויד הצער ולבייסי ואומר על עולם המדור אין נוחם מאוד אבל גם מה שפסלתי גם כן נוחם ואין שם נראה בפן נטל
So he says I like my shtickle Torah he also has a good shtickle Torah harbe pan on the Torah that's a great but again it's important Rav Moshe obviously is very generous in spirit, but it's important to note that while Rav Chaim and Rav Moshe have slightly different versions, in the big picture they both agree. Right? The two big nekudos in the sugya is number one. Exactly. The two big nekudos in the sugya is number one: is there a shame rodev to a non-guilty rodev? And on that, both Rav Chaim and Rav Moshe agree that there is, that an uber has a shame rodev. And the other issue, closely related to that, is that once you think that an uber has a shame rodif, so then you can also say that we kill the rodif, that we kill the uber in utero, even though he is a quasi nefesh, right? Even though basically abortion, according to them, is ritzicha because a uber is a quasi nefesh, but alpha pikin because the uber in utero is a rodif, that's going to be docha the quasi nefesh. So again, in terms of both those big points, whether that you have a shame rodif for a non guilty party. Point number one. And in terms of, therefore, the Shitaso, holding that it's Ritzicha to kill a Uber Nidro, both Rav Chaim and Rav Moshe are in agreement. So it's important to know when Rav Moshe is saying, oh, it's a beautiful shtickle, I think it's because, in essence, Rav Chaim is in the same approach as Rav Moshe. So they come to, they, you know, they give different, you know, various halakhim in terms of like how to, you know, teach the Rambam. But in essence, they really come down this to the same point. So that's, Rav Moshe is obviously complimenting, you know, the shtickel of Rav Chaim. It's also because he likes it, because it works very nicely with his big approach. I happen to see that Rav Moshe, supposedly Paskins, as you can imagine, Lamaisa, based on this, so there is a shame rodev of the non-guilty variety. Supposedly there was a Maisa in the 70s, more like religion. Yeah, with the Siamese twins?
Yeah.
So supposedly it was like this famous Maisa, like a religious couple had Siamese twins. And basically the two twin girls shared a heart. And I think like one had like four chambers. Exactly, there were six chambers. One of them had four chambers, and the other one had two chambers. And basically they wouldn't be able to, if they both, they would both die if they were left as is. And the only way to save the one with four would be to remove the one with the two. And basically, Rav Moshe, based on the shtickle of holding that this very important yisod, that there is a shame rodev of the non-guilty variety, he basically was matir, basically killing the girl with two chambers on the tzad that she was defined as a rodev. So again, this very important lump, this obviously life and death, you know, repercussions based on this lumbness of there being a shame rodev to a non-guilty, even of the non-guilty variety. So, and again, obviously the other implications are major implications for, like, you know, abortion. Again, whether the uber has the status of a quasi-nefesh, which would deem abortion ritzicha, or whether it's not a nefesh and therefore would be much smaller yisurim like chavala sa'im, would have obviously major repercussions about whether there could ever be a heter of abortion, and, you know, obviously you know, trying circumstances. Again, obviously, a lot of these inyanim are, you know, heavy inyanim, but again, all comes down, like, as a goal, it all comes back to the ikar lamdus, about how you define shem rodif, how do you define the, which itself relates to how do you define the status of an umar.
If we don't assume, like, the consummation of, and we say that the activation of the svar by hunt, is there any daf gemina between whether we call it a rodif or not?
So you're saying once there's an imbalance of my chazis?
Yeah, I wrote it so reliant on my chazis.
Seemingly not. I think not. Okay. Yashkach?
This is all really the kind of mission. Like.